Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Donald Trump's comments on abortion and the trans issue. We address it head on. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member today to support the program and listen advertiser free and get other perks and exclusive weekly columns. charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com. We're going to be doing bi-weekly meetings, all sorts of fun stuff. So become a member, charliekirk.com. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I've been looking for the right opportunity all week to cover this, and it's just kind of been kicking from one day to the other because it's not breaking news, but it's important news. So I said, let's just do it during the Ask Me Anything. We have plenty of time. We build this out every week so that I take your questions. We have at least 200 to 300 emails or messages that I've received about Donald Trump's comments on Meet the Press regarding abortion and Donald Trump's comments with Megyn Kelly about the trans issue. And so one of the reasons I didn't consider this to be top of mind is I know Donald Trump personally. I've endorsed him for 2024. He's been very good to me. And he's a pro-life guy. In fact, he did so much pro-life stuff as president that stuff that sometimes gets intermixed with just kind of political cycle chatter doesn't overly interest me, to be perfectly honest. I know who he is. I know what drives him and animates him. And I also know what he did. And so before I play this piece of tape and Meet the Press and give you my reaction, I also want to remind you, I'm 100% pro-life. When I mean 100% pro-life, I mean I go to college campuses with people screaming at me saying, Charlie, what about exceptions for rape and incest? And I make the moral argument that a life is a life. So I'm 100% pro-life, and I remain that way. And we cannot waver on the issue at all. I also understand that not every politician running for office is going to be as clear as I want them to be on the issue. And then I'm going to tell you what I think President Trump said in the tape that is really upsetting people, because I'm getting a lot of messages from pastors and a lot of people that are really upset about it. And I can see that. But I'm also going to give you my personal interactions with Trump, and also forget my own word for it. What did he do? Okay. So President Trump, as president, just as a reminder before we play the piece of tape, appointed over 150 pro-life judges, including 3 Supreme Court justices, 43 U.S. Courts of Appeal judges, and 99 district court judges. He permitted states to defund Planned Parenthood of Title X funding. He stopped tax dollars funding abortions overseas. He defunded the pro-abortion UNFPA. He required health insurance companies to disclose if plans cover abortion. Settlements and new rule regarding HHS mandate. New office for conscious protection at HHS, allowing states to defund Planned Parenthood of Medicaid funds, and cut Planned Parenthood's tax funding, and canceled a huge contract for taxpayer-funded experimentation with body parts of aborted babies in June. He was also the first president to speak at the March for Life. In fact, Roe versus Wade would never have been repealed if it wasn't for President Trump sending it back to the states. So let's play the piece of tape here that is getting people fired up. I think some people, not everyone, have a little bit of a memory issue, and they're forgetting that Donald Trump was the most successful pro-life president in American history. Now, I just want to remind you, there is a difference between disagreeing on objectives and values and then also disagreeing on tactics and strategy. Because I think people are conflating Donald Trump's value system with Donald Trump's tactics and his strategy. Those are two different things. Let's play cut 138, please.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15
weeks? Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes
too far? I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
Okay. But now, did he mean it's terrible morally, or did he mean that it might be terrible politically? Those are two different things. Because President Trump might be saying that it's an unpopular thing. It's kind of, there's some vagueness there. So let's take a step back. What is President Trump saying? He's saying, I will try to get people in the room and strike a deal. Remember, Donald Trump looks at himself as the guy that can go after the most impossible deals. Israel and Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And trying to get people that otherwise hate each other in the room. North Korea and trying to ease tensions. He has a track record of trying to make impossible deals happen. Now understand, my moral perspective is there is no deal if you want to kill babies. That's me. And that's the way the pro-life movement feels. But I'm here just trying to offer some context to a man who has not said, because words don't mean anything to me, but proven to be pro-life. That's why when I see interviews like this, I kind of say, look, show me the money, man. Jerry Maguire, show me the goods. Enough talk. Here's the other thing. President Trump, I think, was more focused on trying to attack DeSantis in that particular dialogue than actually talking about the merits of the abortion issue. Now, we as pro-life activists need to constantly be on our toes because we've been let down so many times. Saying one thing another. George W. Bush was a Republican who did not speak at the March for Life, and he was almost pro-choice. In fact, his wife was very, very pro-abortion, remains to be pro-abortion. And he talked this good game about Christian values, but when it came to that issue, it was like, ooh, we don't talk about it. Just a little reminder, this is President Trump, the first president ever speaking at the March for Life. Play cut 161.
We cannot know what our citizens yet unborn will achieve. The dreams they will imagine, the masterpieces they will create, the discoveries they will make. But we know this, every life brings love into this world. Every child brings joy to a family. Every person is worth protecting. And above all, we know that every human soul is divine and every human life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of Almighty God.
That's right there, bigger than some sort of heated moment where DeSantis gets brought up with Kristen Welker. Forget that. That's like a bar fight. This is right there, straight communication of Imago Dei. And then he also did it. He enacted it. Here's something that we as pro-life activists, though, are not honest about. Well, I am, and I get criticized for this. If the 2024 election is a referendum on abortion, we will lose. If it is just about abortion, we will lose. America is not as pro-life as I am. I know this. I know this from talking to moderate suburban Republicans that say, Charlie, I'm with you on every issue except the abortion issue. I know this on campuses, where it is by far the number one issue. And now, the perspective that some of you might say is, but Charlie, we can't waver on moral clarity. I agree with that. I do. But what Trump is trying to say, though, is there any sort of deal that could be struck where you have one side saying you can abort a baby, basically kill a baby, right there, up until the moment of birth? Here's some data, though. when abortion has recently been on the ballot in Ohio, in Kentucky, and many other states, Kansas, the pro-abortion side wins. And that doesn't mean it's not an important issue. For me, it's one of my top issues, and it remains that way. But excuse me when I don't get into the outrage cycle by certain commentators when a friend of mine, President Donald Trump, who did more for the unborn, is trying to strike a deal. He already proved he's been pro-life, extremely pro-life. There's another element to this, though, which is that the pro-life movement has a significant structural financial disadvantage when it comes to this issue. And right now we are seeing evidence after evidence, state after state, that this is not a winning political issue in 2024. I wish it was. I wish we had a culture of life. I also wish that we had a culture of life at the border. We have a culture of death across the board. And that's you have to understand, this is bigger than just the abortion issue. We do not have a culture of life for protecting 12-year-olds from chemical castration. A culture of life from kids getting sex trafficked across the border. And remember, Donald Trump, not you, is facing 500 years in federal prison. So the motivation for Donald Trump is, if I don't win, I'm probably going to federal prison for the rest of my life. And he thinks, and there's some evidence to support his belief, that if you do not have some sort of position on the abortion issue in Wisconsin or Arizona or Georgia that can at least be considered to be somewhat middle-of-the-road prudent, you're going to lose. And I am curious, for all of my very good pro-life friends out there, do you have any evidence that the pro-life issue is a winning issue? Wisconsin, the Supreme Court justice seat, was a 10-point race. Now you might say, well, Charlie, then why do you talk about the pro-life issue so much? I have a different job. I'm not running for office. I'm legitimately trying to change people's minds. I'm trying to make it so that abortion is a winning political issue. I'm trying to go into the depths of hell of Flagstaff, Arizona, get screamed at and hexed by Wiccans and witches, and I am afforded the opportunity to be morally clear on these issues all the time. That's why I could never run for political office. But I'm also looking at, boy, what is the consequences of not winning? You get zero of your pro-life choices. Zero. You get bad justices, Planned Parenthood all over. And so if you get Donald Trump as president, it's not a question. You know you are going to get pro-life wins. You know it. We got pro-life wins last time. Big ones, the most of any president in the modern era. And I think it's equally as important to remember that there are some people in his ear that are saying you've got to become more pro-choice. I think this is a healthy dialogue, though. I think some of you that are pro-life that are speaking out, if I was in your shoes and I didn't know the president personally and you hadn't been through this for 7 years, I would actually have the same reaction. What I'm just trying to do is add a little bit of context in this, is that you're used to being abandoned on this issue. The fact that there is suspicion amongst the rank and file of the Christian conservative grassroots, that actually gives me some promise. It shows me that you are not robotic Democrats. It shows me that you want to see the clarity, that this is a very big issue, and it's a big issue for me. Mike Cernovich tweets this: if you want to be pro-life with no exceptions, good for you. Lose every election. Have no political power and see what life looks like in a Bolshevik hellhole. Will you feel good because you didn't compromise as your children starve in another Holodomor? That's the alternative. Now, I wouldn't be as aggressive as Mike Cernovich here because I do see it on both sides. I see it from both places, especially if you are a pastor or if you are an author or if you are a commentator and your whole thing is about moral clarity. I get it. But as Mr. Bismarck told us, politics is the art of the possible. And there is a question of how possible is it to run on just this issue alone. So it's a necessary balance. It's a balance to remind President Trump that his base is pro-life, because I think he could have answered the meet the press question a lot better. He shouldn't have attacked DeSantis. The 6 or 8 week ban is not, it was not worthy of the criticism that he leveled, but he was more going after DeSantis. How should Trump have answered it? He said, look, I was the most pro-life president ever. Every human being is made in the image of God. Right now, it's left to the states. A federal abortion ban will never come to my desk. It's widely unrealistic. I will defund Planned Parenthood. I will defund all these other groups, and I'll put more justice on the Supreme Court to defend life. End of story. Let's secure the border, end the war in Ukraine, and get our economy going again. That's how I think he should answer it from this point forward. All right, you've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, the beast, you know, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong. Until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDweightLoss.com. I want to read an email we received here. Charlie, you fear man more than God. You are willing to throw millions of babies under the bus just to win a political race. You have no principles, David. No, in fact, my principles I care about so much that I know that if we do not have political power, our principles are nothing more than a bunch of op-eds and books that people don't read. Putting principles into power is where politics comes in. So you have principles and then you have power. But the segue between principles and power is politics, which can be very messy. So what do we want? Yes, of course, I want to save babies. I'm 100% pro-life. But I want to win. If you do not win, then your principles are nothing more than bumper stickers and tweets that you can rest on your laurels until the FBI comes and raids your home or until they start transing your kids. Our principles are abstractions without political power. There are two different types of roles. people that are running for political office and people that are in the public commentary space. If I, Charlie Kirk, was wavering on the abortion issue, then I would be completely warranted to receive all the negative emails. But I'm not. Instead, I'm merely offering context for President Trump, who has dedicated his life to beating the bad guys. That's his life's work. The life's work of Donald Trump, especially politically, is to beat the Marxists, beat the open border crowd, even beat the pro-abortion folks. What is hilarious to me is, do you know who really hates Donald Trump? The pro-abortion lobby, because he was responsible for reversing Roe versus Wade. Not everybody, but some of you that have messaged me some very nasty emails about Donald Trump. I wish there was a little bit more gratitude, a little bit more understanding that this guy delivered the goods. You should have saw Washington, D.C. when Roe got overturned. It was as the demons came out of the fourth circle of hell, and I am not exaggerating. Those people did not see Trump as an ally. So keep that in mind. Okay, let's now get to the next one. Charlie, let me just actually read it. I'm not going to paraphrase. I think it's too important to read actual questions that have come in here. Charlie, will you do everything you can to help Trump with the messaging around important social issues? I saw him on Megyn Kelly, and frankly, I thought it was embarrassing. This likely will not hurt him, but he is stronger. If you can get strong on these issues, can you please help him? I wish our candidates would listen to your show. Vivek likely does. God bless Kathy. Thank you, Kathy, for the kind words. Okay, so I actually think that if you were to get upset about something, Trump on the trans one is probably something more worthy of getting upset. And I didn't get upset because I know what he believes on it. And I think people are playing way too much into the pause because you actually read the transcript. It's perfectly fine. But let's play this because this is also going viral and people are getting upset about it. Play cut 137, please.
Can a man become a woman?
In my opinion, you have a man, you have a woman. I think part of it is birth. Can the man give birth? No. No, although they'll come up with some answer to that also someday. I heard just the other day they have a way that now the man can give birth. No, I would say I'll continue my stance on that.
So receiving a fair amount of emails about people, I said, Charlie, how could he pause out of this? Let's just talk about the policy here. Let's calm down, guys, okay? He's not a talk show. He's running for president. Trump said he will sign an executive order banning trans surgeries for kids. Donald Trump also said that he doesn't think men can give birth. That is heretical to the trans alphabet mafia. But here is what I've been saying privately to the Trump team and what I will say to the president, of whom I support 100%, is it's not 2018 anymore. This is my only piece of feedback, even more than the abortion thing. The country is actually in the favor of, let's just say, traditional biological reality far more than it probably was even in 2018. Dylan Mulvaney, trans surgeries for kids, trans strippers at the White House, all this crap that we've seen in our country. The trans issue is a losing issue for the Democrats. So my advice to the Trump team is that if there was actually an issue to lean even more into, because remember, politics is the art of the possible. You have principles and you have power, and politics bridges those two. This is actually an 80 or 90% issue. And the answer should be no. A man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. And if you go after our kids, we're going to put you in prison. We're going to remove pornography from our schools and this trans nonsensical propaganda. Trans strippers will not be invited to the White House, and we will not display gay pride flags next to the American flag outflanking them. We're not going to have gay pride flags and trans flags on our embassies. And by the way, let me just remind you, before everyone gets all up in arms, President Trump said that trans people that are suffering from mental delusion, which I repeat myself because all trans people are not able to serve in the U.S. military. That was the right move. Biden reversed it. Trans will also keep the trans male scumbags out of your daughter's locker room. So he's excellent on the policy. I would improve a couple things, get a little bit more precise there. But also, and I said this when it happened, that when you're going into an interview with Megyn Kelly, there should have been a little bit better preparation on Trump's team, because this is Megyn's number one issue, where she is the least metropolitan New York-ish that you would imagine. If you just do even like a 5-minute overview of an oppo, not oppo, but like a prep file for a Megyn Kelly interview, of which I'm going on Megyn's show next week, where Megyn is like 10 out of 10 and a cultural American hero, in my opinion, in the last couple of years, has been her courage on the trans issue. God bless her for that. So probably could have been better prepared in that regard. And good for Trump, who has the courage to go on the show. You think Biden could sit down? Come on. I want to read a couple of emails here that we're receiving as we're doing this live. Charlie, I agree with you. Here's my stance. The Republican Party needs to de-emphasize the abortion issue. Fighting on the Democrats' turf, we need to sell and promote an alternative, adoption. Adoption creates opportunity in families. Adoption, abortion does neither. Charlie, I trust Trump. Actions speak louder than words. Bless you, Charlie, and praise God for what Trump has done to save lives. Charlie, I would rather have a pro-life president that I agree with 95% of the time than Joe Biden, who's actually killing children. Okay. Well, that's rather reasonable, actually. And look, if you're looking for long, intellectual, let's just say, clarity on the trans issue, that's what the Matt Walsh program and the Charlie Kirk show is. I have a great deal of flex in the joints when a baller politician, aka someone who's amazing, might not give the most precise answer, but he's going to sign the right stuff and do the right stuff and has done the right stuff. So it's just, I think that there's some, and President Trump has actually done this to himself because he has turned politics into entertainment, understandably. But I think that we are conflating our pundits, our talk shows, and our speakers with the guy that is going to govern. They're not always the same thing. So I want your continued thoughts or your freedom at charliekirk.com. But if I were to summarize all this, President Trump does have to sharpen up some of these answers. He does. He's got to sharpen up some of them. I wouldn't give them 10 out of 10. I'd give them 6 or 7 out of 10. And if I didn't know Trump personally, if I hadn't been through so many cycles of this up and down the roller coaster over the last 7 years, I could see some of the anger or some of the upsetness on this. I just happen to be in a different place in the sense of been around him, know what animates him. I've seen this, but the track record is A+. That you can't possibly debate. So instead of just kind of all the chatter and the white noise and people that, oh my goodness, guys, look at the record. It's the track record, not the chattering. Because that's what politicians like. Talk, 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 talk. That's all they do. Talk, 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 talk. Enough. He did the stuff. He signed the bills. We have Amy Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch. Roe versus Wade is done because of him. So I get the initial, Why was Roe versus Wade repealed? Because of Pence? Because of Nikki Haley? No. Because of Trump. So back off. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org. www.cnn.org/Kirk. We're going to get to a non-political topic here. We have a lot of emails about the abortion thing. I think we covered all that fine. Charlie, what are some routines or things that you do in your routine that you think could help others? Also, why are so many kids on antidepressants? Okay, actually, this ties together in some ways. So I have something that I do that costs almost no money. It only takes a couple of minutes. It's so hard. You think you're dying, but you're not. It makes you mentally resilient, can help with depression, anxiety, which is cold exposure. I do it nearly every single day. Now, this is no fun, but I love this for a variety of reasons, whether it be a cold shower or a cold tub. I do both. Also, I'm a big sauna fan, but we'll just focus on the cold. It's unlike anything I've ever come across because it is so disconnected. The feeling is so disconnected from what is real. So, for example, you know, there's a 42-degree cold tub that I try to do a couple times a week, and I do dunks, and I stay in there. And then you go back and forth in the sauna. It's great. The science is over. The actual real science, not this fake garbage, is overwhelming, and it's terrific. But you feel, and it's not an exaggeration, and if you've never done cold exposure, you're going to think I'm making it up. You think you're dying. I mean, it is alarm bells, amygdala response. Norepinephrine is just spiking if you're in 42-degree water. And by the way, please check with a doctor before you do this, because if you have a bad heart, it could probably not go well. But most young people, perfectly fine. So you think you are dying. You think that the world is falling apart. It is every possible alarm response in your body is trying to get out of this water as quickly as possible. In fact, if you do it, your diaphragm can actually kind of spaz out if you're not used to it. But what's so amazing is that after about 30 seconds or a minute, it doesn't necessarily get easier, but if you could slow your breathing down, especially after you had dunk or two. Now, if it's sub 50 degrees, you're in the ballgame, because that's cold, right? If you're in 40 to 50 degrees, you're in the ballgame. And you realize that once you get out of the water, it was 100% mental. One of the few things where you feel, because for example, if you were to work out, if you were to run as fast as you possibly can, run wind sprints, and you feel like you're dying, you actually could pass out, right? Something really bad could happen to you. If you're bench pressing and all of a sudden you feel like your muscles are going on. But the cold tub is that the feeling is not necessarily directly correlated with the threat to your body, especially after you get somewhat initiated. So therefore, it's totally the story that you are telling yourself when you are in the cold. You're in the cold shower, you're in the cold tub or whatever. Cold showers are even easier because anyone can do a cold shower. Anyone at any period of time. And it is this question right before, it's amazing. For those of you that don't do cold exposure, you'll learn this. Those that do, you know exactly what I mean. Where you have a decision to make. Am I going to voluntarily do something that is good for me that I don't want to do? That is a great habit to get in. It's a very, very good habit. Where you are in the shower and you go all the way down to as cold as you possibly can. You stay there for 30 seconds. That builds discipline, fortitude, builds resolve. I also love it because the amount of time it takes, you know, some of these interventions, sauna is not, you know, it's very time consuming. Minimum 20 to 30 minutes, super hot. Cold exposure is 90 seconds, if that. Anyone can do it at any time. By the way, the studies are overwhelming. It helps with inflammation. It helps with depression. Helps with easing sore and aching muscles. Helps with your central nervous system. Helps with your immune system. Trains your vagus nerve. It decreases the effect of heat or humidity. The benefits are so overwhelming. In fact, instead of just giving so many kids antidepressants, benzodiazepines, and Xanax, maybe we should say, hey, try some cold exposure. But that's hard. But it's good for you. It's great for you. So that's something I hope that some of you in the audience will put into your routine. It's been really great for me. And look, of course, some people say, oh, you can get hypothermia. If you stay in there for 15 minutes, you can get hypothermia. If you do 90 seconds at a time, you're not going to get hypothermia. Okay, but check with a doctor, medical professional, all that sort of stuff. All these disclaimers, because I'm sure someone will email us and something will happen. If they're like, oh my goodness, I stayed in. Just please check with your doctor, okay? But it's about the mental side of it that is the most interesting and invigorating. Where you are just over that water, like, I really don't want to do it. A sense of accomplishment even after 20 seconds, and it spikes baseline dopamine production for the rest of the day. It spikes baseline dopamine production. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.